Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, and it's Wednesday night, the night where we pray and prophesy over every person who calls in. And we do a little teaching, and we spend all of our time going from person to person, about any conversations, except for asking you what your name is and what state you're from, not what city, but what state. So any, just for whatever, cool to know. Let's just know where are you talking from, what area of the country, or what area of the world. So, I'm good to be here tonight, and hopefully you're doing okay. We are here to pray for you and minister to you. Believe God with you for whatever you need, you know, to make it to the next day, the next hour, the next week, the next month. You know, we're here to help you get there and reach out to you and believe God to give you something, some kind of encouragement, some kind of confirmation, something from the Lord. And we're very adamant about it, and we really want that more than anything. So we want to feed the sheep. Feeding the sheep means getting them what they need, right, so they can move forward. Yeah, without that, what are you going to do? Not much. So if we're not getting the sheep fed, not about feeding them the right, you know, doctrine, although that's very important. It's not just feeding them, you know, good teachings. That's important too, but feeding them what they need. Like in the natural world, some person has a health issue. Find out all they need to do is eat carrots every day. Yeah, and their eye problems go away. Other people, they don't need carrots. They need broccoli. Other people need more protein. Different people need, you know, different things. So so if you come to my office and I'm your doctor, or I'm watching over you, whatever, and I tell everybody that comes in to eat carrots, if they help one of my patients, what good is that going to do you if you don't need that, right? So feeding people and getting people what they need, it isn't necessary. Maybe a good teaching is what they need. If a good teaching is what they need to feed them or to get them what they need to get healthy or to, you know, see things properly, then that's what you give them, right? You know, you may be just being kind, maybe just saying hello once in a while and, you know, let them know that you're there. You never know what it's going to be. And you can do it with your wife, your husband, your children, whatever. And so when you learn how to do that, you're going to find people will be a lot more happy. When your hunger is met or when your needs are met, you don't want. And when you don't want, you stay out of trouble. Whatever trouble that would be, some people's trouble is one thing, some people's trouble is another thing. But, you know, if you're getting your needs met, just look at Psalm 120. Let's look at Psalm 23 just for a moment. I know what it says. What does it really say for us tonight? Maybe there's something there that God wants us to see. We will see. All right, let's go to Psalm 23 just for a moment. All right, there we are, Psalm 23. And, yeah, really cool. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. May you go out through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff accompany me. You will prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, it opens up here and says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When the Lord's your shepherd, you don't want. you don't have a drive to try to get that hunger met, because it's like I try not to go shopping hungry, right? Because if you do, if you go shopping hungry, you're not only going to buy extra things, you're going to be eating things while you're shopping around, right? That's what I do. Open up a bag of something or another and start eating it while I'm, you know, going around and, you know. Yeah. So, you know, so hunger is a big thing. And if the Lord is your shepherd, what does he do? Why is he your shepherd? Why does it talk about Jesus being the good shepherd? Because he leads us into what we need. He restores our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. He doesn't just, you know, tell you, you know, be faithful to me. And, you know, I mean, if that's what you need to hear, then that'll feed you. Whatever you need to hear, that's what he's going to feed you. And that's really what the prophetic is all about. The prophetic voice, the prophet's voice, the prophetic realm is really, you know, I think every shepherd's ministry does it differently. The prophet does it a little bit differently because, you know, it's our main thing is that we go with what God is saying, you know, to individuals, to the nation, to the city, to our governments, to whatever, to our churches. And so, you know, so we basically overall, the prophet will tell you, will know, will have a sense of what's happening right now. And if we have a lot of fear, extra fear going on, if that fear is manufactured by the devil, then what do you need to be fed? You need to be fed something like, don't be deceived, right? Because the fear is phony. So what did that do? That fed people for, let's say we had a three-month period where, you know, there's a lot of extra fear being promoted out there everywhere. And, you know, and so everybody's teaching on, you know, how to be happy and all that, which is wonderful, how to read your Bible and how to worship. And that's all great. But when if you have, let's say, a six-month period where the enemy is attacking with nothing but fear and it's false, information, it's all kinds of manufactured nonsense to make people fearful, then what's more important than having 6 months worth of different kinds of revelation or teaching from a prophetic voice that is meeting the need for what's happening in that six-month period? So you get taught about how to be happy, but, you know, you're not being taught, you're not being prophesied to or ministered to and given revelation about, you know, we're under special attack right now and all the fear that's going around. It's all fake. Now, if it was something worthy to be afraid of, that'd be different. If there really was if the FBI really did have something that was really real, which, you know, sometimes they did, they could get something right. then that's a real fear that we need to tell people. Then we do it to change our message. We would say, you know, the Lord says there is there's a real problem out there, and we need to be careful where you go for the next 30 days because, you know, they're out here for the Lord, you know, whatever. Just like Elisha told the king of Israel, you know, don't go down that road because the enemy's waiting down there for you. He's down there, and he's like waiting for you to show up because he knows you go there all the time. And so, you know, the king finds out that, you know, that Elisha is the one that's, you know, ratting on him, you know, exposing his strategies, and he goes after him. Why? Because a prophet, if Elisha would have said to the king, oh, king, you know, have a wonderful day. You're going down this road today. I know all's going to be good, but, you know, try to be careful. That wouldn't have been what he needed. He needed to hear the exact word. He needed to be fed the exact information for that hour, for that moment, for that day. So that's what the prophetic voice does. It'll feed you things, what you need for that moment, that day, that month, that year. You have a six-month period of fake news on fear. And we tell people, this is fake news. Oh, my God, Brandon, did you hear about this? And did you hear? And people send me texts and emails and videos, and they go, "Oh my God, you know, what do you think about this?" Oh, yeah. So I look at it and I'm going, you know, I don't know. But then all of a sudden the Lord goes, "That's fake news. That's fake fear. If there's real fear. In other words, if there had been something really out there, the prophetic voice would say, you know, yeah, we need to be careful of that. But if not, then it's kind of like, you know, whatever. But the pastors and teachers, you know, are not really specifically warning about those things. They're trying to pastor the flock. But there's a shepherd's voice of a prophet. The prophet shepherd is the one who says, don't go down that road because they're waiting for you. And they're going to kill you. I mean, what better food do you need than what is waiting down the road for you that's going to kill you and save your life and stop you from going down the road or a market situation? I've had people call me and, you know, what about the market this? What about the market that? And if I get something, you know, it sometimes saves their hide, you know? So it's that's what the prophetic voice is different than other voices. It's not better than, it just needs to be, people need to quit rejecting it, actually. And until people have a real need for it, you know, they're not going to know. Just like what was going on with Elisha. Let me read that to you. Let's go there for a second. Elisha, the man of God, sent a message. It's the 2 Kings. Just go to read it. 2 Kings 6:9. Elisha, the man of God, sent a message to the king of Israel saying, be careful, don't pass that place. You know, they had a place that they were going to go to. He said, be careful and don't pass that place. No, don't go there. Because the Armenians are going down there, and the king of Israel checked out. Okay, I got you. I'm trying to miss them. So don't pass that way because the Armenians are going down there, and the king of Israel checked the place about which Elisha had warned him. Elisha warned him several times, so the king protected himself there. The king of Aram was angry about this. He called his officers together and demanded, tell me of who is working for the king of Israel. One of the officers said, none, my master. And the king, my master, my king, it's Elisha, the prophet from Israel. He can tell you what you speak in your bedchambers, in your bedroom. And the king said, go and find him so I can send men and catch him. And the servants came back and reported that he was in Dothan. And so then the king sent horses and chariots, many troops to Dothan. And they arrived there, and of course, that's when Elijah, you know, had the servant with him, and the servant realized he went to go get the, you know, go to Starbucks and get some coffee for the prophet, and it's like in him, and he notices there's an awful lot of horses and chariots out around. Oh my God! Oh, wait a minute! Oh, they're everywhere! He runs back and he tells Elijah, "We're going down, man. We're gonna die today." Well, you see, this is what so Elijah. Work in the realm of feeding someone what they needed for that moment to keep them from dying, right? To keep them from going down, to keep them from being taken over. And so, friend, if we don't have that going on in our nation and around the world and around the country, if we don't have that going on, then we got a real problem going on because we're not going to be, we're not going to be being warned of the things that we need. We're not going to get the food that we need. Give us this day our daily bread, right? That's what Jesus said. Give us this day what is our daily bread? Is that just, you know, natural food? Of course, we need daily bread. But it's also talking about give us information that we need for the day. Our daily bread is what we need for today, not for next month, not for next year. And that's we're being warned about something next month or next year, specifically, like in 1 year from now, get ready because blah, blah, blah. So that's going to happen, right? And so if it's a real fear, then the prophet can confirm that and say, that's true, and here's how we prepare. And then the pastors can do their thing, and the evangelists can evangelize and about it. And, you know, so it's really important to have a prophetic voice going on, you know, for sure. So that's kind of what my job is. And I don't know that I know that a lot of people out there that do the same thing. Everybody has a little bit of way of doing it. I think we all have our own little folds that are with us. And if you're faithful to God and, you know, you're walking in obedience to God, God's going to use the prophet to help you one way or the other, you know. And, you know, so So let's believe, God, that we can continue to do that and do it better. Do it better and better and better and better all the time. More clear, more precise, more powerful. And let's start believing God so that we can be warned about things. And so give us just our daily bread, and Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, he leads me beside still waters. In other words, he Elisha the prophet was leading the king of Israel to still waters, because still waters means a place of safety and protection. So he was saying, don't go down to that place, because you know that's where they are. They're there, and they're waiting for you. And so of course they found out about it. The king found out about it, and they go after it. It's all part of being a prophet. When you're really truly getting information things that are going on behind the scenes when God reveals them to you, it really does stir up a lot of problems, because pretty soon, you know, people find out, hey, that's not, you don't have a rat in your kingdom. There's a prophet over there telling people what's going on, you know, in your bedroom, what you're talking about, your private places, where you're trying to, you know, get private information. And so give us a fair day, Brett. And really believe in God to, like, I read this last night to somebody, 1 Timothy 1:18, where Paul the Apostle was telling his favorite disciple, you know, hey, man, you want to fight a good warfare? Go listen to the prophecy. So what were those prophecies that he told Timothy to go look at? They were food. They were food that keeps on, like a loaf of bread. You eat a piece of loaf and you're really good, and you go back and you eat some more. Right, until you eat the whole loaf. And so what God begins to do is he prepares you by giving you food. And that food can, you know, like Paul the Apostle told Timothy, he said, go listen to those prophecies that you've gotten, not prophecy, but prophecies, because it's food for you to what? Fight the good fight. What was the king of Israel doing? He was fighting a fight, prophet doing. He was giving him information, prophecy. He was telling him, don't go down that way. They're waiting for you. And so it's really, really important to understand how that works, y'all. And so the food, there's different kinds of food. Hang on a second. So that's why our weekly, you know, prayer times are important. It may not be a word like, oh, don't go to work tomorrow down that same street you always go down because there's going to be an accident. I mean, you never know what God's going to say. It just could be something, you know, very regular, like, you know, be encouraged because, you know, God is going through. We had a lady call last night, and I didn't know who she was. And I started prophesying over. And I think her name was Morgan. I think it was Morgan. Morgan or Deborah, Debbie or one of the other. I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, I gave her a word just without knowing anything about her and said, I prophesied to her about her fate. And then right at the end of it, I was fixing to close it up and, you know, get her back on the phones. And the Lord said, tell her about the house. I went, the house? Okay. I said, the house. He said, you're going to get a house. And it's going to be like a home for you. And so I don't know if it's going to be a new house or what's going on with that right now. So sure enough, she gets on the phone back with me, and she says, you know, Brother Randy, that was exactly what was going on, because I woke up this morning worried about the money, and we're looking for a house. I'm going like, yeah, what was that? That was food for her. It was food that she needed that day. She woke up that morning concerned about it. How many of you ever woke up worried about something? I have. And you wake up in the morning or whatever, and you go like, first thing, she's like, I'm not, you're never going to have the money. It's kind of, you have to rebuke it or do whatever. But she called in. She said, Randy, that's, I didn't call in just for the house only. I called in for my finances. But, you know, I said, well, look at the word you just got. Look at the bread God just fed you. I told her, you know, think about this. You know, you called in because of finances and you're looking for a house. So if you realize what God said to you, said you're going to get a house, it's going to be like a home for you, then that tells you that you're going to have the money or something to get the house, which kind of answers your question, not just necessarily money just for a house, but if you're flowing money and in favor and you're going to get a house, that means your finances are somewhat better, you know, maybe a lot better. So look how the Lord gave her bread for that day. I mean, it's really amazing. And then the next caller, I believe that was Morgan. And then after that was Deborah or Debbie. And Debbie called in, and I gave her a word about different things. And, you know, it just she said, that's exactly what I'm going through. You know, what does that mean? What are they saying? They're saying, you give me bread to feed me for my day, my daily bread. Now, that bread, you can get a loaf of bread. It could last you a week, 2 weeks. But, you know, that's why we come on and we spend our time on Wednesdays to prophesize people because, you know, we want to give them something. You never know what it's going to be. It may be the next time they call it may be something completely different. Maybe about, you know, what kind of food they need to eat or not eat or whatever. You never know what God's going to say because he cares about every part of our life. And so a prophet will prophesy or speak or pray over you, you know, kind of what's going on, what you need to hear that week, even if you don't realize you need to hear it. You have to, you know, go by faith and believe God that, you know, if I don't understand that word, sometimes people understand the word, sometimes they don't. And just because you don't understand it or didn't, like, okay, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going through. Sometimes it's exactly what you're going through. Sometimes it's a little bit about what you're going through. Sometimes it's about not anything you're going through, but about something you may go through in the future. Prophecy is not always just telling you what you're going through. Sometimes prophecy is, or the prophetic realm is saying something about the future. Right, about where you're going to be, and God may be giving you thoughts on how to think, you know, some different things you need to deal with to get ready for the future. It may have anything to do with you. Oh, yeah, I just thought about that today, or not. People don't understand the prophetic. It's so much more broader than they believe, than they know or understand. Because we get taught a lot of false teachings about prophecy, because most people don't even have a clue about the prophetic realm, and they try to teach about it, and they say stuff, and they teach people stuff, and it's just really irritating, honestly, kind of aggravating some of the stuff you get. I've heard some really, you know, good teachers teach it wrong, big time wrong. And so, anyway, that's kind of it. But cool, man. All right. So that was short and sweet and to the point. All right. So just like the words we get when we, you know, what I'm giving right now. You know, I'm not a teacher. I'm a prophet. I prophesy. When I prophesy, it shows up in my teaching. You know, even though I'm teaching, I'm not really a teacher. I'm a prophet. But what happens? It comes out in a prophetic realm, telling people kind of what they need to know. It may not be what you're going through today, but it may be something that you'll remember. Oh, yeah, I remember when he fed me that bread that day or gave me that word that day or spoke about that in his teaching time. You know, and you know, that's exactly what I'm going through right now. But it could be a future thing. It's not always what you're going through. Well, he must not be on tonight, or she must not be on tonight, because I wasn't thinking about that at all. I tell you, that has nothing to do with the prophetic realm. It can be part of it. If the prophet always tells you things that you already know, what good is a prophet? A prophet told the king things he didn't have a clue about. Oh, yeah, the king didn't say, oh, yeah, I kind of thought there might be somebody down there. He didn't have a clue. He was like, he just kind of go, huh? But, you know, what'd you say, Mr. Pride? Hey, huh? He didn't have a clue. You know, kings don't talk like that most of it. Anyway, so he didn't have a clue what was going on. People think the prophecy, the prophetic realm, is about telling people things. If it does not confirm with you already, it's not a word from God, so don't receive it. I'm going like, where did they get that false teaching at? Bear witness with you? It has nothing to do with bearing witness with you. You can have something bear witness with you that you don't even have a clue what it means, but it just be your witnesser in you, the thing in you that bears witness, is the thing that you that bears witness to truth, not about, oh, I already know that. So they totally misteach what bearing witness means. If it doesn't bear witness with you, or in other words, they say if you don't really already have it on your mind, then, you know, it's probably not God. When, just like we're talking about tonight with the king. The king did not have a clue, not a clue. He didn't discern. He wasn't even thinking about it. It doesn't say here, oh, yeah, and the king goes, yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. I thought about that. I had a dream about that last night. He didn't say nothing. The king said he just didn't go that direction, and so the army didn't lose their life that day or lose a lot of their they're military people. So, you know, so he didn't have a clue. So people think if you go through the script, you're going to find out that the teachings that we have today on prophecy are so steaminess. For the most part, maybe 1% true on a lot of it. But as far as in all truth, biblical truth about it, it is in reality, it's not true at all. A lot of it's just fake, phony. And somebody trying to keep you from getting prophecy, not because they don't there any prophecy, because they think that everybody prophesies probably is just full of it. So they despise it and don't realize they're doing it. That's really the truth. All right. Really, really cool. All right, so we're going to stop at 9:30 tonight and take callers tonight. So we'll meet some men. I'll be right back. And we will take our callers tonight. All right, be right back. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with me. A little bit of a break there for a second. All right, let's go back here. Okay, my first caller tonight, 863-605, doing 915-248. 704 after that, 214 after that, 202 after that, 610 after that, 402 after that, 915 after that, 240 after that, 954 after that, 325 after that, 804 after that, 612 after that, 984 after that, and then got three of you to have your hand up here, so we'll get up later, I guess. Hopefully we'll get you on there. All right, take your first call tonight. Thank you for being with us, and so give me your first name and what state you're from, please.
Hey, Randy, right. It's Charles and Nikki from Florida.
Hey, y'all.
And could you pray for Destiny? And I've got a heart catheter procedure in the morning. Could you pray for that as well?
Yeah. Destiny and the catheter. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you for letting me know about that. That's heart catheter. Wow. I don't know what that is exactly. I have to look into that. But thank you for letting me know. And our PGN family. Well, just pray for Nikki. And I think she got to go to in the morning with the doctor, a heart catheter. So, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just ask you to bless that and bless her heart, Jesus. Fill her heart with your anointing, the oil of your power, the oil of your love, the oil of your peace. God, in Jesus' name, and just feed her, God. Feed her what she needs. Give her daily bread in Jesus' name. Whatever her daily bread is, it could be something different every day. Thank you, Lord, that you give us this day. Give her this day her daily bread, Jesus. Give her tomorrow her daily bread, which she'll need that. But we just focus on right now, Jesus. Minister her needs, God, right now by the power of God. And for Destiny, Father, we thank you for Destiny. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for helping her with her ability to, learn how to fly, learn how to not get overwhelmed with things, catch her mind, those things that cause her mind to go, like all of us, sometimes I get a thought process, and my mind goes to a certain place, and, I have to catch it before I go there, because if I don't, I'll end up, getting frustrated or whatever, more than I should. So I thank you, Lord, for helping her catch those thoughts and grabbing hold of them before they go there too far, in Jesus' name, and causing her to be able to learn how to catch thoughts, cast them down, and put on a new thinking before things get too carried away. That's every day, if we cleanse our mind from things or catch thoughts and take authority over them before they, especially the ones that we're weak in. I know that everybody has a little bit of weakness in some areas of their soul, their mind, where the enemy can attack them rather easily. With me, it'd be one thing. With you, it'd be destiny, be something else. So thank you, Lord, for helping her catch that. And when you catch the thief, you make him pay back, give me back the time that I lost in messing with you. So I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, and give her wisdom on how to do that, and eyes to see it, ears to catch it, and an awareness of the strategies of the enemy, and even sometimes the strategies of our own mind. Our own mind sometimes can be trained, has been doing something for so long that it just automatically goes there, to be able to catch it when it starts going there and stop that automatic thing and change it into something else and ask God to give you scripture or something to be to feed that area so you won't go, be going there as easily. Right. The battle's in the mind, that's for sure. So we need help with that. Thank you, Jesus, for helping Destiny. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your spirit upon her, God. Amen. For Charles, Lord, give Charles your strength, God. Give him your wisdom. God, give him that that spirit of freedom, Father, where he can know that when you're in Christ Jesus, you're free. And, you live to do the will of the Father. Freedom is being able to do the will of the Father. And we all can do that, right? We all can do the will of the Father. We just choose to do it. And then if something tries to stop us from going there, then God will deal with it. If we persist in doing what God wants, God will deal with those things that keep us from going there. So thank you, Jesus, that you will give him that persistence, perseverance to pursue you and not give up, just like Jacob did when he wrestled with the angel. And he finally said, I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Nick, we'll be praying for you tomorrow, dear. Let me know about that. Wow. Okay, 915-248. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Brother Randy, this is Daniel in Texas, and I need prayer for my older brother, John, who had a cornea transplant today, and a friend, okay. Carlos, that had back surgery today.
Okay, hang on a second. Okay, so we got John. You said John?
Right, my brother John, and then my friend Carlos that had back surgery.
Carlos, yes. Okay, I guess I'm trying to make sure I wrote that down. All right, cool. All right, Daniel, thank you very much. Let's pray for that. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight. Thank you, Lord, for his power to pray and come in agreement. I come in agreement with you, Daniel, on these things, on John, your brother, in Jesus' name. Had the cornea. I believe he's going to the cornea situation today. And then Carlos in the back, be out of the back. Carlos, yeah, okay, I'm going to get this here. So we thank you, Lord, that I come in agreement with my brother tonight. In Jesus' name, I come in agreement with Daniel from Texas. In Jesus' name, right now, over his brother John tonight that had the cornea surgery. In Jesus' name, we ask you to bless and heal God. Use everything that goes on with him to touch him, to open his heart to you more and more, Jesus. To know that you're real, to know that you love him, and that he can be a real blessing of the Father, for the Father. And you called John to be a blessing, so let him be that. All right, and Carlos, we thank you, Lord, for Carlos, who had a back surgery tonight, or back surgery recently. And we thank you, Lord, just touch him, God. I speak to them, every nerve. I speak to every ligament, every tendon, all the nerves, in Jesus' name, to be to come together, to be at peace, to be at rest, to heal up, to multiply and increase in the cellular realm so they can reconnect and everything can reconnect and be normal. Think about when doctors mess with stuff. Yeah, so it's probably good we're praying over him, right? Back surgery is really, that's a tough one. My family had back surgery thing. My mother, my grandmother, and my grandmother, like genetic. Thank God if I would have had that, I don't, but I'm thankful. But we text you to bless him, Jesus, and touch him, God, and break any bondages that might be locking him into having that issue so he can totally heal him in Jesus' name. Possible genetic things. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight. God, we thank for Daniel. Thank you for giving him a good sweet sleep. That when he rests, he really rests really well. He rests deep. He sleeps deep. He gets his rest to the full so he can be refreshed. Because sleep is so important. You know, I've heard people talk, including Mike Huckabee, who's somebody that I know personally, he's talked about how sleep really messes his life. Missing sleep, not getting sleep, messed up his life. And I knew he wasn't doing good at one time. I noticed him, he just wasn't looking good. It was like he had a little, shaking a little bit, like he was like, something was wrong. And little did I realize, it was because he wasn't sleeping. His mind would race at night. So thank you, Lord, for Daniel, that God, that he will sleep deep, not just sleep, but sleep deep. Some people sleep 8 hours, 6 hours, whatever, but they don't really sleep deep. And I thank you, Lord, that when God created Adam, and then he ready to create, make Eve out of Adam, rib, out of the rib of Adam, he put him into a deep, Bible says he put him into a deep sleep. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get something out of your rib, dude, so don't get excited about that, okay? That's funny.
But, you know, God can put you into a deep sleep where your brain really rests, where your mind really rests. So when you wake up refreshed. Sometimes our physical energy is because our mind is not resting. Because the brain, the mind, you know, all of it's connected. The brain runs everything. So if it's wore out or not, you know, getting its rest, God made it to get rest, Daniel, and I know you know that. That's why the Sabbath was created. And so thank you, Lord, and our, because our brain runs stuff, our brain's not getting rest, it's not sleeping good. It doesn't give our body energy to work to the same. You're not letting me sleep. I'm not sleeping. So it kind of rebels or whatever. It just can't work right. All right. The thing that we feed our brain, one of them, is sleep, a deep sleep. So I speak a deep sleep over my brother God, not just sleeping, but a deep sleep where his brain is so rest, take rest. You wake up in the morning, his brain's going to go, yeah, man, good job, Daniel. We're going to make it today. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to give you lots of strength, and the brain works correctly. All right. 704-614, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Deborah from South Carolina.
All right. Hi, Deborah. All right, Deborah, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you just for Deborah. Thank you, Lord, for that compassion and that caring spirit, God, that you've given her to there's a real strong spirit of compassion inside you that God's really going to multiply and increase. You know, Jesus was moved by compassion. It's not that he just had it. He was moved by it. So his compassion, Deborah, was real. His compassion was alive, man. I mean, my God, I feel the anointing on this. And because his compassion was alive and active, when there was something going on that needed to be taken care of by the Father could just, you know, breathe on his compassion and that compassion, because it was living, alive. It would literally, like a person, go and, you know, want to heal and deliver or help or give the right information or whatever. So I thank you, Lord, for that spirit of compassion side of her, God. And that, and it's not just for physical healing or emotional healing. It can be for anything. It can be for just comforting a person that needs, you know, 5 minutes worth of comfort or something. It could be, you know, going, you know, help a financial thing, having compassion and helping somebody with a few bucks, you know, because you have compassion on them. So God's really going to let you be moved by compassion, not just have compassion. Go, oh, I've got a lot of compassion, people say. I go, like, yeah, but are you moved by it? Do you let it move you? When it wants to move you, do you go with it or do you resist it? All right? Yeah, so I feel, you know, yeah, well, I got compassion, but is it able to move you? So I thank you, Lord, that compassion moves her. She goes with the compassion of Jesus. She goes with that compassion from us. Not just phony, fake, you know, pity things. Even pity can sometimes be very real, but real compassion. Compassion goes to deliver the goods. Goes to when it's moved, it goes and settles issues and fixes problems and helps people. And they go like, yeah, yeah, man, it's good. So thank you, Lord, for that and pouring that into her. God, in Jesus' name, let it be poured out of her. I should say, in the name of Jesus, I loosen you right now. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. All right. 214-646. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Tance and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, that's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that quick. I just see God quickening you, like making things quick. Like the word of God is quick. Not slow. I don't know exactly what I'm saying is, but it's not slow. It's quick. It's like it is a quick. You know, it takes care of business. And I thank you, Lord, for that quickening power of the Word of God inside of her, God. And Jesus said the quickening power. It just quickens things. Like quicken. And not quacking, but quicken. Right. So it's a. What are you doing, Tanisha? I'm quickening. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm being quickened. Because quicken makes it happen quick. In other words, it's sharp and quick. Let me see if I can find that scripture here real quick. Let's go here. Give me a second, please. It's quick. I don't know what that is about. Hebrews 4:12. There it is right there. All right. The word of God is quick. I didn't realize it was right there at the beginning. For the word of Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, Tanisha, is quick. and woohoo, powerful, powerful, mata caro costete, and sharper than any, watch this, than any two-edged sword. I don't know, this is a King James word, it says right here, I just Googled it. Piercing, what's going on with this, I don't know, piercing even the dividing asunder. Almost sound like thunder, except it's asunder. It's probably about the same thing. Of soul and spirit, comma, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner. Woo, what's a discerner? The quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, word of God. Hallelujah. And is a discerner of the thoughts. Yeah, a discerner. The word of God discerns the thoughts. Woo, a little spooky, the kind of spooky we like. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It is a discerner of the thoughts, a discerner of the thoughts, and intents. So it's not just a discerner of the thoughts. If somebody can have a thought about something, but what's the intent of that thought? Oh, of the heart. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. Of the heart. I'm trying to look this thing up. Come back here, baby. Come back here, baby. Where did you go? Hebrews 4:12. Look up the word intents. I'm trying to do that. It won't let me. Here it is right there. An intense. How come it's not letting me grab that? Okay, hang on. I got to look now. Now I'm getting mad because it's not letting me, like they're trying to hide something from me. No, we're going to get it. Hebrews. I go to another thing here. Hebrews 4. What did I say? Hebrews 4:12. All right, very cool. This is really good for me, at least. I'm getting something out of this. King James. The King James. Hebrews 4:12. All right. Oh, man, this just gets deeper and deeper. The intents. Look up into. I'm looking up into. I'm doing this on the internet. Okay, intents or purpose. Oh, okay, that's very important because, as you know, if somebody can have thoughts. Oh, I'm going to go down and do some things. Well, that could be anything. You're going to go down and do some things? Like, what's your intent? Is it a good thing, a bad thing to go down and do something, you know, you got some wrong intentions going on or usually a clearly formulated or planned intention. Intent, here it is, cinnamon or intent, of intent. A usually clearly formulated or planned intention or aim. The act of the act or fact of intending. Woo-hoo! It's getting deeper by the minute here. I love this stuff. The act of or fact of intending or purpose, especially the design or like it's the design or purpose to commit a wrongful or criminal act or whatever, the state of mind of which an act is done. Wow. Man, I'm going to have to teach you on that. That's pretty cool. All right. So, let me read the rest of this. You got to read, man, I could stop the whole show and start teaching on this. This is amazing. And watch the rest of this. The intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature. Oh, man, where'd you go? Nope, I'm going to get you no matter what. Here we go. Try to mess up on me again. I'm going to get this, man. We're going to nail this sucker. Neither is there any creature. Neither is there, listen to Tanisha, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Any creature. He calls them creatures now. That is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked. Uh-oh. Talk about, uh-oh. And open. Talk about Adam and Eve when they were naked and everything was open. Nope. God, yeah. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him or her with whom we have to do. Man, oh my Lord, oh my God, from 12 and 13, that's, I don't know what's going on with you or what's happening, but that's pretty awesome in my opinion. I don't know. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and that guy. We thank you, Lord, for Terrence. We thank you for that part of him. You go down to the next verse, verse 14, seeing that we have a high priest, a great high priest, and I speak over Terrence tonight, God, about the high priest and him in the priestly position that is passed into the heaven. Seeing then that we have a high priest, that Terrence has a high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I think this pretty well fits you. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, knowing your feelings, your problems, and other people's problems and issues. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And infirmities means, I'm going to look that up, I'm doing this all on the internet, physical or mental weakness. You know, for people, for ourselves, when we're having an issue, a problem, whatever, you know, a thing going on. Yeah. A feeling that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yes, without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace to be a helper or grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore, verse 16, come boldly. I can see you, Terrence, coming boldly into the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Not the throne of performance that we can only come if we're performing well, but the throne of unmerited, undeserved favor. Woo! In the name of Jesus, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I don't know what's happening over here, but I can tell you what's happening over there. That's what's happening. All right, 202-722. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Brother Randy, this is Darryl Paul on the call, calling from D.C. Let's keep that same energy. Thank you.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, that's exactly what I see happening here. Yeah, I see you tapping into a higher level of energy. It's kind of like we, you know, like we go from, I don't know, how do I explain this, different levels of energy. You go from 110 to 220, you know, whatever, or you go from, you know, from one, you know, you get a computer that only allows so much power to go through it and do so many things, and then you get a higher level computer. It's like I see you getting a higher level of connection with God, or how do I say this? To where that energy, because energy is power. Energy is information. Because when I get information, it gives me energy. Right? When I get something from God, I'm telling you, like right now, I'm buzzing right now just from just prophesying over people. I mean, it's amazing. Because the information that I get to people, it energizes. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It's like, that's why prophecy is so powerful. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. That's why preaching the Word of God is so powerful. Not just prophecy, but we talk about that because that's what we do. But any kind of word that comes from God, you know, that's why it feeds us. It gives us energy. So I see God taking you from levels of, like, say, get a vegetable that has 10% of it is valuable because the other 80-90% was lost and whatever. That you get your vegetables, you get your food from heaven or whatever it is, and it's full, it's 100% fresh. Every bit of what's in that vegetable, whatever that thing that you're eating, whatever it is going on, that fruit, is 100% loaded with that which feeds you and nurtures every part of every kind of food, any kind of food that we have. It God made each kind of food that there is to do certain things. Even the medical industry, you know, the scientists have found that out. You know, if you need certain things, you need an apple. If you need certain things, you need, you know, eat grapefruit, you know, whatever you eat. And so I thank you, Lord, for that, giving him that level, that new level of energy, in Jesus' name, the power of God to energize, that you will feed him your word. Because like I say, when I get words from God, whether it's in the middle of the night or prophesying to people or just going along and God speaks to me about something, it is energy. So the word of God is energy. So in other words, God's saying, I'm going to start speaking my word into you more. You're going to start being more sensitive to my word, to listen to the word, to hear the word, and to be absorbed in the word and reabsorbed in that energy. Hallelujah. And it's energy that's not anxiety is energy, but it's false energy. It's energy that does the opposite, right? It drains us. But energy that brings us, you know, pure energy gives us power to move forward, power to think clearly, power to do things differently. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, for the whole another, the pure energy, pure 100-fold food and information from heaven. Oh, now we'll just keep going from one realm to the other. Now I'm starting to see what he's saying. Now I understand what he's saying, Daryl Paul. This is amazing. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Going back to that 30, 60, 100-fold understanding. It's like God's taking you from, you know, let's say you're 30 and taking you to 60, which is a whole other level of energy, a whole other level of understanding. Because if we get a word, we don't understand it. The energy that we get from it finally just kind of dwindles away because we didn't understand it. But when you understand it, the energy stays with you. I've never heard that word before. I can't even repeat that. That was awesome, man. Woo! Hallelujah. That's when we pray in the Holy Ghost, because those words, when you're praying in tongues, praying in heaven language, which I feel sorry for people who don't have it, because they're missing out on some awesome power. I mean, they don't even have a clue what they're missing out on. I thank God I didn't fight the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I'm so thankful. I was just hungry, and I didn't care what it was. If it's from God, it's in the Bible, I want it. Oh, I don't see you. I'm going to nitpick. I'm going to nitpick the word of God. Oh, I don't know if I want that or not. No, I don't want that thing. Just give me that one thing right there. Got 1,000 things, but I only want that one. Just give me that one thing. Or give me those five. You could have a million or 5,000. I just want five. Well, you could have it all. You can have it all. Hallelujah. I want it all. I thank the Lord for 30, 60, and 100-fold understanding, my brother, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I speak over Nicole tonight, God. I thank you for the power of your word. Is that right? I thank you for the power of resurrection word that I decree and declare over her, God, the resurrection word. Jesus said, and he was the word, the living word. It is, was and is the living word that became flesh, that word inside of her, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, that creative word that has to do with the resurrection, that Jesus is the resurrection. He doesn't just have resurrection power. He himself is resurrection. That's what he told Mary and Martha. They'll both have met. I am, you don't understand? No, you don't understand. I'm trying to tell you, I am the resurrection. So he was trying to tell him was, listen, because I am the resurrection, I can resurrect whatever I want. If the Father wants to do it and I want to do it, we agree together, it's a done deal. It doesn't matter how dead the thing is. I can resurrect at any time I please. Nicole, this is for you. Anytime I want, anytime I desire, and anytime the Father, of course, we all know it's when the Father, he said, I do nothing except what I see my Father. When he sees it, when the Father does it, because he was the resurrection, anytime the Father wants to resurrect something, Nicole, he just goes, resurrect that same Jesus. And Jesus goes, yes, sir, Father. And he resurrects that thing. And you know what? It can't stay dead because the one who created it, my God, is the one who's speaking to it. And when you get the creator speaking to you, there's something happening that it can create, do whatever. Because when you start with creation, there's nothing that if something needs to be made to make that thing alive, whether it's a physical part in the body, whether it's a part of the brain, whether it's something in the atmosphere that needs to be done, if it's something in a computer, an object, or a tree, whatever the thing is, hallelujah, I release the word of resurrection. His name is Yeshua, the Son of the Living God. Meshekul Bawata, Yikikahai, and let it flow out of your belly like living waters in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm full of it tonight. I can tell. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. All right, 610-969. Who is this and where are you from? Hello.
Shalom. Shalom, Prophet Randy. Hi, this is Lisa, broadcast from Pennsylvania.
All right. All right, Lisa, good to have you tonight. Thank you. All right, you're welcome. Thank you, Lisa. Tishete, no hapa te kalahora velozgili dira barato kapana sindiketa manakana makaye. Maini katawana wana 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 inika. Me na wana hana hana machine. Mahani hilo wana mahana keta tonga ya wana bahayinga yi. Yete kando hoyinda wana. Hayana, ano hana makana. Thank you, Jesus. Yako sheba hale me sheko. Torrike, torrike, pechike, chikara konare me dila ne kreke teko pabahi. Aloha, shengreke, toma. Pantike, pandos, depe. He show an erhender tini patonka. I see the Lord, you know, making your languages, your heavenly languages, your prayer tongues, more just like they're almost like they're regular. I mean, we all know it's supernatural. There's no doubt it's supernatural. It has to be supernatural. But I know it's what's happening to me lately. Since my brain has been, you know, definitely kicking in. My brain is able to contain more information from God now than ever. So I'm learning how to work with it. But so what's happening is that, you know, being able to, part of the brain is languages. And when I started, well, a little bit I know about it, but with the Holy Ghost power telling me what's up with things, I realized that language, which is part of the brain's activity and works with languages, that's where we learn our language, but it's part of the brain. And so when this part of my brain, I guess, started being touched or something or coming alive, all of a sudden my heavenly languages, which, you know, have always been powerful, it's more like just like talking everyday language to somebody instead of being some special moment where I go off, you know, it's like, like I could be like I'm talking to somebody. I can have a conversation with somebody in the spirit realm. Well, he that prays in an unknown tongue, you know, speaketh unto God. Or you can be speaking to angels or speaking to whoever, speaking to the devil, telling the devil to get their hands off, whatever it is. It's a language. And those that my languages have become just like I'm just sitting down visiting with somebody or something. And then I, you know, it may sound a little weird to some people, but this is the Bible. This is the word of the living God. And I just wait a minute, you know, and I get some information, and I'm going like, man, where'd that come from? That's really cool. And then I start talking again, like I'm having a conversation. I can't literally physically hear anything, but my spirit man knows is communicating something or something's happened. And I just go and I go back and speak. Sometimes the language will change to another language, or it sounds like another language, and sometimes it's the same one. And no sneaky per sneaky per pa. And just like that. And I was like, so what I see something happening with your brain where your languages, not just your spiritual heavenly language, but even your articulation ability to communicate with God in your brain and the language and the information and the words and the shaping of words, that language, the languages that form and shape in the brain that God gave. Because God made the brain, He made the brain in the brain, with Adam and Eve to communicate with Him. That's what He made the brain for, to think God's thoughts. And when we fail, it all fell apart. And now we're coming back together, and God gave us this heavenly language and ability to be redeemed back. The purpose of it is not just speaking in some language we don't know, but the purpose of it is that the articulation, even of our own, you know, English language. It's not even about a language in particular. It's about the ability to process information. Because when we process that information and you process it purely, with purity, with undefiled religious thing or whatever, our own thinking or whatever, it's not just a religious experience, anything. And we get the pure. He said when you pray in tongues, you're praying directly to the Father. Hallelujah. Woo! My God, man. What is that? That's language. That language is saying something specific. And God don't play it out. God doesn't just yak, just to be yakking. He's not a yakker. He's a communicator. And He has a purpose in everything He does and says. So he comes, yeah, Randy. You know, I got some things I want to tell you. You ready to listen? I'm going, and whatever language he was talking, that's what happened. And all of a sudden, I started understanding things. I'm going, man, I never thought about that before. He said, yeah, I thought you might like that. I don't really literally hear him saying that, but that's, I can feel that. Like, so I see something happening in your brain that so that you're not just tongues, languages, or your English language, but the ability for your brain to process information in a more beautiful way, in a more powerful way. Mata Pacaroja. All right, that's it on that one. All right, 402-650, can we talk to you quickly?
Hey, Randy, it's John and Melissa in Omaha. If you could pray over my health and then also over our friend Kaylee.
Kaylee, okay. All right. Absolutely. I know somebody named Haley. We have a Haley in our show from Houston. John's health and Haley. Thank you, Lord, for John's health. God, we thank you, Lord, for his health. God, that you will, you know, the brain runs everything. You know, I'm learning that more and more all the time. And the more my brain cells come alive or whatever's going on with me, I don't know exactly what it is. My brain is opening from, you know, maybe 1% to 10% now, you know, or 10 from 10 to 15. I'm not sure where I'm at on it. I never knew where I was before. But whatever's happening is that my brain is the brain runs everything. And that's why the Bible says that if we can get our minds to change, our body will change. If we can get our thinking to change, our soul, then when our soul changes, then our body changes. Our body has to line up with our thinking. And I am not talking about positive thinking either. Some people think it's wonderful. I'm not really into it. But I'm into the Word of God thinking. If the Word of God says something negative, then that's positive to me. I mean, it's not positive. If God tells me, Randy, you really messed up something and you get it right, that's not a real positive message. You know why it is positive? Oh, I can't believe you spoke a negative word on me like that. I got to get something right. You know why? You know why it is truly positive? Because God's showing you how to fix something. You know, he's not just going to say, good boy, Randy, everything you do is just fine. And John, boy, you too. Yeah, y'all two are like together. Uh-huh. No, he's going like, hey, if you mess something up, that's the most positive. If I'm sitting there saying, God, show me what I'm doing wrong. And then you get somebody does a correction thing on you, going like, how dare that person correct me? And at the same time, it's like, if, you know, God's saying, hey, I'm trying to fix the problem. It's not a negative word. It sounds negative, but it's really, you know, the correction is like having corrective surgery. You get corrective surgery, and you go from can't see out of that eye to seeing out of that eye now. Or one of your kidneys not functioning. Now you corrected it. Now it can function. So correction, like going to the doctor. Oh, you got to go to the doctor and get an operation. No, that's not very positive. I bind that up in Jesus' name. No, you know, I mean, if it's a good doctor, you go back and get your kidney fixed where you have your whole body functioning right, and you get corrected, even though it's painful and you may pay a little bit for it. You know, it's like, oh, my God, my health is back. My health is back. My health is back. So, Lord, I thank you for helping John, my brother, because you love him, God, and whatever way you need to change his thinking, to be able to open up to the healing virtue of Christ so that his health can turn around. Because most of the time our health, unless it's an accident or something, most of our health is a process of things that have gone on for months. You know, we all have that. I know people who all of a sudden they were sicker than a dog. And to find out, it's just they had so much stress going on, it finally broke through and attacked their body. You know, and it happens. It's not the bad people or carnal people. They're just people. We live in life. So thank you, Jesus, for John. Thank you, Lord, for administering your word to him, God. Thanks for giving him your pure word, Jesus. Thanks for helping him in his mind area, his thought, to be able to change that, to correct it like corrective surgery so that his body can be made whole, Jesus. And then you just get a healing prayer where you got healed. You got information from God on how to heal yourself through his word. Yeah. Heal yourself through his word. Oh, my God, that'll preach right there. I just heard myself say that. Heal yourself. I can see a book writing a book. Heal yourself through his word. That'll preach, man. Maybe that's a book for you. John will heal himself by the word of God. Yeah. My God, that is So, Lord, I thank you for correcting and helping and loving John and showing him, you know, how to, you know, like if you get a, you know, something wrong, you fix it and it starts working again. Find out what food you need to eat to fix your body. You start eating that food. You correct it. If God tells you what food to eat and we don't do it, then what happens? We keep on being sick, you know? Whatever the thing is, God, we thank you that you love John, God. He's your servant. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for giving him your thoughts and the information that he needs in Jesus' name to change his body by your word, only by the word of God. His name is Jesus, by the way, and I know you know that. All right, thank you, Lord, for Haley tonight, God. We speak over Haley tonight. We thank you, Lord, for Haley's heart, God, that Haley's heart will become get rid of all the anxiety and stresses and all the wounds, all the wounds that have been wounded. You know, sometimes we get wounds and we just kind of move on. We don't really heal the wound. We just move on. We don't really fix. We don't really stitch it up, and it still bleeds slowly, not a lot, but little by little, it drains you of your life, Haley. So I thank you, Lord, for helping my friend Haley tonight, Jesus, to fix herself by the word of God. I keep hearing myself, fix yourself, but how? But by the word, by the Holy Spirit helping you. And Jesus, help Haley to let the Holy Spirit stitch up those wounds. They won't bleed, and she won't lose her emotional energy. She won't be drained of her emotional energy. Yeah. It's like an anemic person. They're bleeding, you know, whatever. Their body's not functioning. The blood's not flowing well. So what happens? They, little by little, they, you know, become anemic. So thank you, Lord, for her spiritual life not being anemic anymore, God, that the blood, that her system flows properly, the God, that the wounds, we've all had wounds. We've all been wounded. Some people have been wounded very deeply, and some people have been wounded, you know, a little bit on a regular basis, which makes it pretty bad. So whatever's been happening there, Jesus' name, open it up, God, and show her how to let you heal her through your word. Let her administer the word. Holy Spirit, help her to administer the word of your grace to her in Jesus' name because you love her, Father. Hallelujah. Haley, hallelujah. Haley. Listen to that word. All right. 915-929. Can I talk to you, please?
God bless you, Prophet Randy. This is Carmen from Texas.
Ooh. All right. Another Texas girl. We love everybody, but we really like the Texas people. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding, right? I mean, we really do love Texas people, right? But still. But we are going to reach out to the world. Hallelujah. We're going to reach out to the world. Texas is going to reach out to the world. Carmen, I don't know if you're able to hear it. One night I shared, it was kind of funny, I was walking around the studio, working on the studio, and I was thinking about Texas, right? We're talking about Texas with you, and it's like I don't know if the Lord directly was showing this, I don't know, but anyway, it's like he was laughing. He said, yeah, Randy, like, you know, playing with me, like, discontinued the rapture. I canceled it, the pre-tribulation rapture, because Texas started praying and said, God, you know, during the tribulation, the great, we'll take care of people. We'll get a, you know, we'll get the digital currency going on, and be able to help everybody. When the world has their own system, we can't buy and do things anymore. We'll have our own system. God, you know, can't we just stay here instead of being raptured off? And the Lord goes, yeah, that's a good idea. I think I'm going to cancel the pre-tribulation rapture now. So I don't know if you heard me talking about that, but I thought that was hilarious. I laughed about that, you know, and then I came on the show later to talk about it. I laughed and laughed and laughed about that. That was so funny. It's like God was making a joke, you know, like there never was a pre-tribulation rapture, right? So, you know, he was like saying, like he was, I don't know how much to give him credit for that, but anyway, he was like going, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I canceled the rapture. Like, he knows, I know there never was one, a pre-tribulation rapture at least. So anyway, so I see God you know, really humoring you, making you laugh. I know you already do, but making you laugh, making you laugh and making you cry. But and so you enjoy your life. So when battles are going on, struggles are going on, or you're working hard, and all of a sudden a funny thought comes into your head. I know you already have them already, but that's like I see those increasing and multiplying. And I just see you, people are just going to think you're losing it because all of a sudden you're just going to bust out laughing. And say, what are you laughing about? There's nothing funny going on. Oh, just I can't tell you because it's the Lord. Me and the Lord got something going on. But yeah, she's quacky, man. She's like, you know, she goes. But, you know, that's the way it is. We have a fellowship with Jesus on the inside. And he takes us to a whole different world, right? We live in a whole different world when we live with him. I mean, he can kid around and play. I saw Jesus himself. I know what Jesus looked like because I saw him in an open vision. He's standing there, and he wasn't on his knees praying and crying out and sweating. No, he was laughing. He was laughing. And so, you know, it's just an amazing thing when I saw the Lord. He knew I know. He knew that I knew. He knew that I know that he's serious. That part of him, I got that down. But that part about him being fun and having fun. So I think God's going to start opening you up for that, even at a higher level than you already have, and start showing you and laughing, having fun. And I, like I said, I already know you have this already, but I see God really increasing that and taking and preparing a table for you in the midst of your enemies. And you know he's going to feed you? Funny things, laughter. And everybody's going to be going like, you should be being serious, man. You know, what's wrong with you? What are you laughing about? And then you're gonna give them the scripture and go, well, the Bible says, the word of God says, we hold the devil in derision. In other words, it means that we mock him in the book of Psalms. So we mock him with laughter. That's what it says. Remember that? You remember that scripture? That's funny. So we mock Satan and his so-called evil, with laughter because it's like, we know that the victory's already been won. We know. So what do we have to worry about? What are we afraid about? Do we have to pray and believe God? And sometimes we cry. Sometimes we intercede and weep. But then the next minute we're laughing. And when I saw Jesus laughing, I didn't see him praying. He wasn't being serious. He wasn't trying to win the world. He said, I've already done it already. What am I going to worry about now? I ain't going to worry about nothing. I ain't got no anxiety. I'm not sweating bullets anymore like I was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm laughing. Because you know what? It's a done deal. And Lord, I thank you for Carmen. With that done deal thing, that the deal is done. Doesn't mean we don't pray. No, we come in agreement with what it's done, right? Yeah, I know you know that. But I release that into your life. Mushniki prakunga bandike pakwate paniko oshneki paato onoho shniki potu. Yeah, and let it be done in her heart, Jesus, and seal it in her heart. Let her drink of the new wine of the day of Pentecost. The Pentecost new wine in Jesus' name. All right, 240-482. Can I talk to her from, please? All right, 240-482, you there? Okay, give me a second. All right. Hang on a second, I'm trying. I'll be right back. Give me just a moment. All right, 240-482, you there?
Yes.
Okay. Can I talk to you from, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hi, Valerie. Okay, thank you, Valerie. All right, Valerie, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Valerie tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that discovering new things. Like, I see your mind going to a whole other place and going into, like, a little child, you know, discovering new things about life and just loving it, like, going, like, you know, like a little kid, you know, you put some stuff in front of them, some food, different foods, and they'll put it in their mouth and they'll taste it and it's kind of bittersweet and they kind of go put that look on their face like, oh, that was good. That was, you know, their face goes, oh, that was good. And they take some more. you know, and then they eat something else that they really like, and then you see the expression on their face. You watch the innocence and the purity of their face, just like, you know, enjoying or not enjoying that what you put in front of them to eat, you know. And they may take it and throw it at you or something, saying, "Hey, I don't like that." You know, it's like I see you, you're that beautiful part of your mind discovering new things and looking at things in a pure sense, like an innocent child, and just tasting of life for what it really is, and not caring what people think about how you express yourself about it. Like a little kid, he's not sitting there thinking, "Do I show my mommy that I don't like this or not?" And he don't do that. He just goes, he just spits. He can't talk, you know. So he starts spitting it out, or you know, throwing it at you, or just slamming his, start crying, whatever it is. He doesn't care. Why? Because it's pure and innocent. It's like, you know, that's the way he expresses it. So I see this, that God restores to you the purity and innocence of your expressions. You're not really caring what people think about it. It's not an out of control thing. It's just kind of a thing of purity. When people see somebody who's pure, even if they're 100 years old or 50 years old or 30 years old, when they see somebody who's innocent and pure in a certain area, they just love that, because like, oh, man, that's just, you know, they're kind of acting a little bit funny, but, you know, it's just so innocent. It's so beautiful to watch. So I see God really doing that with your parts of your mind, your brain, your thinking, and restoring your youth, you know, restoring that innocence, the parts of you that when you don't like something, you everybody can tell she doesn't like it. And they just think it's cute. Like, you know, she don't like that. And they're like, it's just so funny looking. Because it's like a little kid, you know, we just love it when they express themselves like, look, that was bitter. It tasted horrible. Mom, why are you giving me that? Like, ugh. You know, without even thinking a thing about it, just because that's just, they're being pure, because that's who they are. And I thank you, Lord, for that with her, God, and restoring that and the beauty of that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 954-580. I'm going to talk to you from, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. I lost you there. 954. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Hello. This is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Hi, Carolyn. All right. Good to have you tonight, Carolyn. Yeah. Thank you. Carolyn from Jamaica. Thank you, Lord, for Carolyn. Thank you, just for Carolyn and God. We thank you, Lord, for giving you, I see God giving you some, like adjusting your eyes or giving you some new glasses or giving you a way to, the way you look at things. You know, I noticed with me, Carolyn, the way I looked at things before, my brain became different. You know, now that I'm working with my brain, or God is working with my brain, helping me work with my brain is now becoming broader in its ability to process information instead of just like, you know, they got two choices. Okay, which one do I do? Okay, no, that one, no, not that one. Now it's like my mind is kind of like, you know, this is easy. It's going to be, there's 10 different ways to fix this thing. You can do any way you want. It's going to be good. It's still like one way and like, you know, so it's like, you know, so my brain started changing and the way I think. And so it changed the way I look at things. It changed the way I look at, you know, it's changing the way I'm looking at everything. You know, the Holy Spirit's able to speak to me now and keep me in peace about things that are messing with me, because I think it with more of the thoughts. I have more of the thoughts of God flowing through me, you know, and the full thought, not just part of a thought or some of the thought, but the full thought more, at least more than usual. I don't know if the full thought or not, but the reason Jesus was used by God 100%, Carolyn, is because 100% of his brain was functioning. He had no sin. He had no, there was not one part of his brain, physical brain, and his soul that was not functioning 100%. That's why God used him 100%, because his brain was active and had the ability to process information from God, just like Adam and Eve did, in a sense, right? Because their brains were made to communicate with God. So now when my brain's doing this, it's like the Holy Spirit is helping. I'm able to receive more communication than I ever have before. So I'm thinking more of the thoughts of God. I'm processing information with all those thoughts, which makes it like easy or easier. So thank you, Lord, for that with her and giving her new eyesight, new insight, Jesus. Hallelujah. And opening her up to those things by the power of God. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. All right. 325-280. Who am I talking to her from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Chris from Texas.
Hey, brother. All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I was just sharing with Caroline about how that Jesus was used 100% by God because he had 100% of his brain. That's a new thought for me. I just got that a few days ago. It's like I realized, Chris, that, you know, what's helping me process information and work things through is that, you know, I'm able to receive more because my brain is, you know, I'm using more of my brain. Like I went from like 5 to 10 or from 1 to 10 or 1 to 5 or something, whatever I went from, maybe from 10 to 20, that would be nice. Whatever it was I went to, whatever I've gone to, I have no proof of it, but I know me. And I'm able to think more, think things through with more information. It's like you put so much information to a computer, you give it 10 things in there, and it needs 100. It limits the way it's able to, you know, it can't really process the information all the way through and come up with the answer or a problem. Like, what do I do with this particular thing or this situation? What do I do with my land, my house, my wife, my family, my children, myself? What do I do with these things? It's like now my brain is able to process through, instead of just putting 10 things in the computer and expecting it to process the problem through and work out the problem. Now you put 1,000 things in there and it just like, and it finishes it and does it all the way. Then you just come halfway, I only got that thing halfway done because I can only halfway think it. You know, so I thank you, Jesus, for my brother, God. I thank you, Lord, for broadening his understanding of God Almighty, broadening his brain, opening up his soul to the renewal of the word of God for the saving of his soul, God, that his soul will be saved every day, maybe every minute of every day, because we're receiving the engrafted word to broaden his mind so that he can receive 1,000 bits of information to work out things instead of only getting halfway, maybe at 20% through the process, and then we can't quite finish it up because I can't seem to think any further than that's the way I've been. I think most people are there. So now I'm able to get more information from God and process the thing and work it all the way through instead of get halfway through it and go, okay, well, you know, that almost worked, but not quite. That's been, I think that's the story of a lot of people, Chris. It's not just my story. Or maybe yours, I don't know if it's yours or not, but being able to process that through. So I see the Lord really, you know, giving, I see your faith. You have great faith in God. That's what I love about you. Your faith is great. And so I see your faith activating that, your ability to broaden your thoughts. It's like getting a computer that you can put like 15 pictures in there, and then you put 16 pictures in there, and it blows up. Oh, my computer blew up today, man. How many pictures you put on it? 16. You're only supposed to put 15 on there. Oh, that it blew up. So get a computer that can receive, you know, 30 or more pictures. So you have to get a bigger, you know, has more gigabyte and whatever. But that's what I see God doing with your brain, with your mind. So God can work with your soul, work with your thinking, work with your mind in a bigger way so you can go, yeah, man, now I can see the big picture. Instead of just a little bitty window, you know, we got this. I see you seeing the big picture of things. And there's a part of you that already does that. But it's not, it's your spirit man already does that for sure. Sees the big picture. And sometimes you see it, but you don't see it long enough to get the details of it. But now I see, you know, something happening with your soul, the engrafting of the word of yours, and your brain, where you're able to see the picture and get a snapshot of it, and then take it apart little by little and work out the whole thing. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I know I'm talking a little bit maybe different than that. I don't know. But I see your brain doing that. I see your brain doing it. Why do we need our brain for? We got God. Well, God made our brain. He made us to use 100% of our brain. Because Jesus used 100% of his brain, he was able to process information and finish the job. The reason Jesus could finish the job of what he did, and it was a big job to finish. Woo, was it big. My God, my Lord and my God, he changed everything. And the reason he could do it and think it all the way through and process it through correctly was because he had 100% of his brain working. And Lord, I know this sounds impossible. People say we can't do it. We'll never be this. We'll go to heaven. That's a lie from hell. And God's telling me we can. And I know you can. And I thank you, Lord, that Chris has the faith in God to do that. In Jesus' name, where you see the snapshots of things and it doesn't kind of quickly go, and you know, it's like somebody showing you a picture of a piece of land or a house that you want, and they flash it in front of you. You see it for about 3 seconds, and then it's gone. You go like, okay, wait a minute. Where's that? Can you bring that picture back? Because I want to see, how did they build that porch? I can't tell how they did that exactly. It's like, awesome, but how did they? But it's gone, right? So I see your face taking a snapshot of it in your mind and being able to process and break down everything and finish and get everything done, finish the whole thing. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It makes sense to me. Hopefully it makes sense. Sometimes I don't explain things perfectly, but I've done the best I can. So thank you, Jesus, for my brother of God and the abilities you've given him to process and work things out and finish the job. Jesus said, Chris, you know this. He said, the Father was pleased because I finished the work. I remember the exact scripture. It says, let me get that real quick and then I'll move on here. Jesus, Father, let's see, let's go here. The Father was pleased. Jesus, Jesus. Okay, hopefully I can find that. I'm Googling it. John 17:4. I have glorified you on earth by accomplishing. Yeah. God was glorified in the completion of the messianic work of Christ. For this conception of the work of life, which includes the whole life as method. And that's not saying what I wanted to say, but here it says the Father pleased because he finished the work. Yeah. John 17, verse 4. Sorry, take me a little longer to repeat that than I thought. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Another version says, I glorified you on earth having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So this whole thing of feeling like, am I ever going to be able to finish what, going on? Like I got, 30% of the puzzle, but I don't have the rest of it. God, I see God doing that supernaturally. In the name of Jesus, I loosen my brother, God. I loosen your brain. I command that your brain to be, by the faith of Christ in you, in Jesus' name, to be expounded upon, to be opened up to the full glory of finishing the job in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because you have such a passion to finish the job that Christ is giving you to do. Amen. Yeah. So Jesus, we prophesy in part, we know in part, but he's going to show you every part. Amen. In Jesus' name. Let it be done. All right. 804-218. You want to talk to your company?
Angie from Virginia.
Hey, Angie. From Virginia. Hey. All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. All right. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Drink some water so I can keep going. Like a horse, I have a drink. Did I just say I'm like a horse, I have a drink? I think I just said that, yeah. Anyway, drop that. I didn't forget that I said that. I'm not a horse. All right. Yeah, I'm kind of like a workhorse, though. That's what you are. You're a workhorse. Yeah, you are a workhorse. That's what's going on here. Yeah, being a workhorse. God's called you a workhorse. He's going to change your work. He's going to show you a changed work, a work to change the work, the work to change, the work to change the work. However you say that, work to change, working the change. Yeah, you can work the change. Okay, I'm going to get this in a second. You can work the change. When a change come, we got to work it. Right, when a change came for Jesus, when he was on the after the cross, now the law was fulfilled, and there's a whole new thing going on. Birth of a church. So it was a change of things, and he had to work the thing. They had to, the disciples, the apostles had to learn to work a thing. So I thank you, Lord, for Ange, God, you show her how to work it, the change. The change is happening, how to work it. Because we can have a change going on and not learn how to work it, and then we end up not receiving everything God wants to receive because we don't. How do we work this thing? So I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to work that thing, how to work things. You put your faith into action. The works, the work of faith, faith without works is dead. So faith with works But what work? Any work? Some kind of work? This kind of work? That kind of work? No, the works of faith, the works of Christ. Really, thank you, Jesus, that the workhorse in her God. If you're going to give her a drink, she needs it. And then, you know, to finish the work, to do the work, to know how to work it, to know how to work it, to know how to work with it. Amen. It's a new thing. When the new thing came along, God knocked Paul off his horse. Oh my gosh, Paul got knocked off his horse. Oh my God, that's amazing. He got knocked off his horse. His horse needed a drink. He was thirsty. So Paul went blind. He got a whole new thing going on, and then he learned how to work. He took him out in the wilderness for 3.5 years, and then he had to learn how to work it. Right? He got a new thing going on. Now he's going to work it. Jesus had a new thing going on. And everybody had to learn how to work the new thing. So thank you, Lord, for giving her the ability to work the new thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To just not try to figure it all out, but to just start working it. You know, with me, when I'm inventing something or making something or changing something, you know, I'm just dreading kind of, because once I get started, I go crazy with it. You know, I just really get into it. So, you know, but when I finally start and then I go back and look at it, my God, I've never, what I started to do and thinking where I'm going to finish, the finish was completely different than what I thought I'd finish. I go, oh my God, man, I mean, I gave Jesus all the glory. Like, thank you, Jesus. Help me with this. This is amazing how you just helped me rearrange this whole thing. Like, wow, the finished work was like completely different than what I thought it was going to be. So, well, we have to start working it. And as we start working it, then, you know, like with me, I fixed this and I fixed that. And I looked at it and said, that's pretty cool, man. I really like that. And then all of a sudden, I started looking at it for a couple of days. And then because that idea took me to a higher level of it for open for another idea. And I went, you know what? But we could have done this and to do that. Okay. And then I changed that thing that I liked and I changed it to something else. And then I get that there and I'm looking at that for a few days and going, really awesome. But, you know, I could see it. So each idea, the ideas I started with, I ended up just canning all of them. But each idea got me to the next level because I started seeing things differently. When I changed it just a little bit, I only changed it a little bit, but the change opened me up to more change. And I went, yeah, you know, that's pretty awesome. But yesterday I thought that was the best thing in the whole world. I was really thanking God. God, you are so smart. That's so amazing. And then the next day I'm going like, man, I think you're smarter than that. That's pretty cool. Thank you for that. But so one idea leads to it, but we have to work each idea and go. And the thing we end up with may not be anything like we started. But that's the process. So I thank you, Lord. I know you already know that, but thank you, Jesus, for that. Open her up for that. Show her how to work her faith. Faith with works causes things to change and, you know, work toward the will of the Father, toward where you're going. We have to start, even though the end products are going to be completely different than when we first set up to change that thing, we start changing it. We liked it one day, and the next day it went to another level, And one idea led to another. So, and Jesus, show her how to work it, God. And Jesus said not to be afraid to work it. Amen. It's fun to work, as you know. You're a workhorse. Paul got knocked off his horse. That was awesome. All right, 612-991, who am I talking to real quick, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota. And also, for Beverly, please.
Okay. Absolutely. All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Beverly tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her life, God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hang on a second. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Beverly tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for compassion upon as you have compassion on herself. Sometimes people keep doing, you know, they just keep doing things, you know, out of frustration because they're angry at themselves. Sometimes, you know, that may not look like it, but they need to have compassion themselves. That's been one of my problems is that God started showing me. That's why I started taking communion a few years ago, started having compassion on myself because I realized that he didn't receive me because of all the works I do. Thank God. But it's for his grace, you know, that it's not how I perform, but it's just because he wants to do it. And so God started showing me. So I started having compassion on myself because, you know, I just would think that I'm not doing that great of a job. So with Beverly, Lord, I think if we're letting her have compassion on herself, that she can see herself, you know, that it's okay. I failed. I made a mistake. So what? Get up and, you know, don't live in it. Don't dwell in it. And I think with Jesus that because she, as she forgives herself and loves herself and has compassion on herself, God, she'll be able to relax and rest and get over that thing that drives her at times to make decisions that she maybe wish she wouldn't have done or whatever. You know, not a bad thing, but it's certainly maybe not the best thing, and made wrong decisions, and go back and forgive herself, and love herself. And so, because we don't do that, we can't move on. It's hard to move on if you don't forgive yourself for making a mess. We all make messes. I make plenty of messes. God says, you need to forgive yourself, Randy. I'm going like, yeah, I know. So I finally started doing it, took time. And I thank you, Lord, for Beverly. Just bless her, God. Bless her and love on her, Jesus. Let her know how you care about her, Lord, and want her to be awesome. Want her to be really blessed by you. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce, God. Thank you for her compassion. Thank you for the mercy, for the mercies of God that work in her, God, for always hoping for her children, always hoping for people, always having hope for them, in Jesus' name. And, you know, and never quit hoping, knowing that though sometimes things temporarily look like they're messed up, there's always hope, you know. Like Abraham was told he can have a child, and he didn't have a child for 25 years. But he never gave up hope. He was always trying. Him and Sarah finally worked a deal out that was all messed up. Because it shows that they never gave up. So we never give up. And then right after that, God, of course, blessed him. And so I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings on her life, God. She's saying that she never gives up. She always has, that never loses hope in Jesus' name. Always believe in God for the best. Eventually, the best is going to happen. It has to. It has to happen. All right, 984-302. Can I talk to you, please? 984-302, are you there? Yeah. All right, 984-302. I don't know who that is exactly, but all right, 984. Thank you, Juice. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom, God, that you bring your freedom to my friend in Jesus' name, that you're there to people try to shut your mouth sometimes, try to tell you to shut up, don't communicate. Even though your communication may not always be perfect, but, you know, the thing is that you're a communicator. God wants you to communicate. Whatever level you're communicating on doesn't make any difference. It's the fact that you have a message. You have something to communicate about. And God wants you to do that communicating. He wants you to communicate, you know, the way he wants you to. And though your communication values and the way you do it may change, but the fact is, he wants you to express yourself. He wants you to be able to, you know, feel and feel deep, and express deep, and think deep, and love deep, and hate deep. You know, hate evil, and I hate God, of course, not hate good, but hate evil deeply. Be able to love and be able to get be not lukewarm. But be hot or cold, you know, sometimes some things I really hate some things. I don't hate people, but I hate some things. I hate evil. I hate, you know, I hate it when I mess up stuff. And so, but, you know, then I love myself and then I love, you know, people and love. So thank you, Jesus, that my friend can find full expression to where a lot of the pain and heartache and things that they've swallowed, that they've kind of went on and just kind of like swallowed it. Let them be able to like regurgitate that, get that out of their system so they put poison in it so they can be, you know, used powerfully by God to help have compassion on people, give them healing and deliverance. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. All right, 803-991, who would talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right, Angela. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God, the power of God in her life, God. She hungers for power from you, your power, your authority. The power from God gives you the ability to make things back in the image of God, get people to think back in the image of God. How does God think? So God's really giving you a passion to get people to thinking how God thinks about things and open up your mind to think about God in this particular way. So it's the same thing that Jesus did. when he walked on the earth. He tried to get people to start thinking like the Father, because they were always trying to trip him up and ask him questions, you know, and then they were just shocked at what he said. Like, oh my God, he just kind of like, nobody had an answer for that, not even us. And he answered it, you know, and so because he was there to show people how to think. He was a communicator. He communicated. What was he communicating? Angela, he was communicating, you know, about the thoughts of God, how God thinks. So people can start thinking like God thinks. Amen? So that's part of your job. Your job is to get people to start thinking differently about the self, about the things they do or don't do, and start connecting with the thoughts of God. Because when they find the thoughts of God, Angela, which is part of your calling, the thoughts of God, when they start finding how God thinks, they're gonna fall in love with Him. They're gonna be like, man, that's amazing. God thinks like that. Wow. And I can think like that? Oh, I can think the thoughts of God? Absolutely. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be done. Amen. The thoughts of God, the thoughts of God, the thoughts of God. You're called to give people to look at things differently than the way they're looking at it. Looking at it in a very carnal way, in a way that they can't get any hope or whatever. And you're going to help change their thinking. It's called renewing the mind. Yeah. All right, 754-255, let me talk to you real quick.
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
All right, good to have you guys tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for that new vision, that new purpose, that new vision, like a new vision. I see God, you're renewing your vision. Vision is a thing that keeps you from perishing, that without a vision, my people perish. And like God, like your vision is not necessarily going to be about, you know, one particular thing or the other. It's going to be your vision changing, your vision, renew your vision is renew your purpose for who you are as a person of God. And then when you do that, then that's seeking first the kingdom of God. And when you do that, seek first the kingdom, what happens? He adds a little thing to you. But God, I see God really renewing your vision, not in like a new job or a new, you know, a new house or a new whatever it is, you know, it could be anything, but just thinking in the light of, you know, your purpose before God, what He wants you to do. And then as you understand that, you start seeing that and you start walking in that, you know, the money, the house, the home, the kids being taken care of, all things that are needed, the provision just shows up. So it truly is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. What's the kingdom of God? It's what you're called to do, right? If I'm doing what I'm called, when I started doing what I was called to do, instead of pastoring and trying to be an evangelist, which I thought I was called to do, once I figured out who I was and what I was doing, I started doing it little by little. God, the provision just started coming in. It started, you know, people just started doing that. Hey, man, it just started coming. I didn't have to ask for it. I did. But I thank you, Lord, for my brother God. He's already in that. He's already in that zone already. But I thank you for taking it further, for renewing his vision even more about who he is, what his purpose is as a servant of God, and what his calling is, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the windows. Ha ha pashero bahaka pastor shepete. Open up the windows of heaven, God, and renew his vision, God, to a higher level of who he is and what he's called to do, that he will never forget it. I talked about this last night, what you told me. When you see something, you can't unsee it. I was talking about that last night. That's not my thought. I wish it was. It was one of my friends. I said, oh, my God. When you see something, you can't unsee it. And so I thank you, Lord, that was done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Renew his vision. Revision him. Like revision him in Jesus' name. Revision. Oh, like a revision or revisit. Like a revisit, revision, revise. Yeah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Shokori marako. Bande bakwara baho. Shikero urkiki tamahai. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for the atmosphere that she lives in within herself, God. That I see the winds blowing, you know, into a new season of that, to where you know, like with me, you know, one of the things I did when I started taking communion was I've always been an upbeat person, basically, but I had my time where I had, frustrations and couldn't figure out things and didn't like myself because I wouldn't feel like I was doing enough for God. So I started realizing that my relationship is not—it's not built out of works, but out of grace. And so I really see God telling you doing a great grace work with you, like He did Paul the Apostle. Paul was quite a performer, and he was one of the greatest. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, meaning that he was truly a righteous man under the law. But we all know that that was not what Jesus wanted, right? He wanted him to learn how to walk by grace, by unmerited, undeserved favor. And when he started walking in that, like I see this, what I see that with you, that you learn to walk in that favor, because it's not about whether if I have a bad day and don't do everything right, I still love myself. I still love myself. I'm like, that's hard to believe. I still love myself after that. And I didn't do anything bad, but I just didn't do anything great, And I'm still loving myself and going, dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for that. So I see God really doing that with you and opening you up to a whole new, I see new winds blowing with you in that area. And God, giving you the really supernatural ability to, live by grace. Like Paul had to have a thorn and God never really took it away, I don't think. That shows you how much how much help he needed to walk in grace, how much more us. Yeah, so, not about performance, how well I do, how well I don't do. We all kind of live by performance. Every day we're taught all of our life to live by performance. But Jesus says, Paul, I'm going to cause some frustration in your life so you can learn to rest in me, knowing that it's done. I got it finished. I got it taken care of. Just do what I say. That's it. That's it. So thank you, Lord, for her life and doing that and learning how to do that more. Amen. Walking by grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. Not about what I do. It's about I'm your girl, in Jesus' name. Amen. My daddy loves me. No doubt about it. All right, 828-442. Am I talking to you from, please? Yes, 828-442. Am I talking to you from?
This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
This who? I'm sorry?
Jennifer from North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. Yes, Jennifer.
Hi.
Thank you very much. No. Hi, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jennifer. John, we thank you, Jesus, for that fantastic. I just hear you saying fantastic or something like that, like amazing or that's fantastic. Like, look what God is doing. Fantastic. Like a spiritual thing happened, a spiritual change, like wow, that's fantastic, instead of like, oh, my God, not that. That's what I just went, oh, my God, not that. That didn't happen, did it? Ooh, yeah. Instead of like going, oh, wow, fantastic. So I see this fantastic thing. I don't know if the word fantastic is in the Bible, but I think it probably could be, translated into fantastic, but, awesome. But thank you, Lord, for that time in Jennifer's life, God, to where she walks in that realm of, just fantastic. Even when it's not always perfect, it's like you see something good about it. It's like God has changed your whole spirit about how you see things. Like now, if the same thing happens to you, 5 years ago, you'd be going, oh, God, I can't believe it. And then you're like, oh, fantastic, Like Job. I was talking about Job the other night, how that at the end of Job's, at the end of the book of Job, when it kind of his battle was over, basically, and he said, God, I'm so sorry that I couldn't see how wonderful all that bad stuff was. He said, it was absolutely wonderful, and I'm such a vile person because I couldn't see it, So he started realizing, all that stuff. So it changed his whole attitude toward everything. He already had a great attitude, just like you. He already got a great attitude, right? But God just really did a big number on that and brought it to a whole other level because he was called to handle more things. You're called to handle, big things. God wants you to handle big things and amazing things and things that are important. And whatever you do, we don't compare it to others. But, if I'm doing something that may be small to me, but it's really not. If it's what I'm called to do, it's big. Whatever I'm called to do is big because I'm doing the biggest thing that I can do is whatever God says. If that's small and everybody else does, who cares? It's big between me and God, and that's it. So thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name and activating her faith, Father, at that whole new level. In Jesus' name, to where she sees that fantastic, it's like Job when he went through with it. okay, God, sorry that I couldn't see all the glory and all that stuff. That was, my life was falling apart. Like, whoa, that's, now I see you were doing an awesome work, and I'm so sorry that I didn't recognize it. Like who would have recognized that, right, Jennifer? Who would have ever said, okay, now this is awesome? I don't think so. But at the end of it, God had totally changed the way he saw things. And it was absolutely amazing. He was going like, fantastic. Yeah, literally, I think it's Job 42, verse 3 or 4, somewhere there, if you want to look it up. All right, it's awesome. All right, Jennifer, thank you. Okay. 903-808, I'm going to talk to you for your friend, please.
Hi, this is Jeannie in Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God in her mouth, God, and the word of God in her. I keep thinking about, you know, the rhythm and the sound. I know how much you love worship and you worship her, but you know, so I think that what I'm seeing with you now more than ever is that you are somehow have a gift, tones, and, you know, like music tones or music notes. And so, you know, those notes, those tones, you know, do certain things to the atmosphere. Like the guy on, I told you all about on Daystar, that came up with this new invention. He actually used music to do it, and he puts that in people's ears when they listen to the music, and he kind of works on the music to make it a certain way. And it adjusts their brain. Well, their brains start balancing out, and, you know, been to trauma or whatever. And so, you know, ever since that thing, I think about you, I think about that with you, and we're like, you know, somehow Jeannie has a gift from God to do tone, to do notes and music that create an environment that, you know, do things. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that, that, like the sounds of heaven in the book of Acts. So I just loosen that inside of her in Jesus' name to activate that to at a higher level, to move into that to a whole other place. God, to where she will see, just like David, when David played the harp before Saul, you know. Number one, it wasn't just about David being there playing the harp for Saul. God was connecting David to being around the king and being around the kingdom. That's what was really happening. The harp playing and all the thing where the demons left him for temporarily, like that was all part of it. But it was like, you know, God started fitting him into a new place. Instead of being out in the shepherd's field, now he's, you know, in the king's, actually in the king's presence, you know, the very king, not all the other people, not the general, not the big general, not the big people in the army. No, the king. Jeannie, are you listening to me? He's standing before the king, and he's, and because of the gift he had in it, somehow, Lord, I don't know what's going on with all that. I don't understand, but the way you've given her is the gift to stand before kings. It's going to open up doors for her, God. Somehow, in Jesus' name, open it up and reveal it in Jesus' name. Or, you know, it may not be literal kings. I don't know, rulers, people. I consider myself a ruler. Don't you? I think you're a ruler. We're all rulers. God's going to bring you before people who are going to, you know, change things and be changers. You know, they're going to do big things. And in Jesus' name, and it's something about you, there's some kind of gift about you that's not just the music so much as it is just something, a tone where you really care about things. You really want to see a change. You really want to be a part of the change. And because of that, you know, there's something that God has created inside you that, that, you know, like when people groan in prayer, that groaning is a sound. You know, it's not just some beautiful sound. It's just a sound. And it breaks things down that are trying to do damage. It destroys the anointing, breaks the yoke to sounds. I mean, this is a new thing for me. And it's proven through that guy who had that admission. I mean, it actually works. So I don't understand all of what I'm telling you exactly, but thank you, Jesus, for that, for opening that up for her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, let's go here, 863-808. Can we talk to you for a minute, please?
Excuse me. listening. Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
Cheryl from Florida. All right, thank you. Same thing with you with music. You know, there's something with you with the music. I spoke with Jeannie, if you're able to hear that. So I think it's going with her, God. Like in the groanings of prayer, I know you're a prayer person. You love praying, and you love that you feel called to that. But there's something about, it's not just words that change things. It's sounds that change things. Like that when people, when you groan and groan in the spirit or whatever without any words being uttered, so how's the word change anything? If the groanings are changing things and there's no words, why is it just words change things? Why isn't it the sound of the groans, the actual agreeing with God and the sound of that groaning that actually changes something? Right, that moves God, that does it. So God is moved by it. Could you imagine the reason he created Lucifer was to have sounds? When he made heaven and earth, he created heaven and earth, he used Lucifer for one thing, and that was for sounds, music and sounds. Why? Because it's part of it. And so it's the same thing with, you know, like the earth is in pain, Romans 8, and groaning in pain. Those sounds create painful things. You know, when the earth is in pain, painful things happen in the earth, like car accidents and trees die, and the earth doesn't bring forth the fruit it's supposed to bring forth. Because it's in pain. It creates that. So when the sons of God come, what do? They come with groanings of the Holy Ghost, the voice of God. Even without words, the groan, the sound, change things, move things. So even called that, all right, in Jesus' name, all right. All right, 951-966, can we talk to you, please?
Hi, Prophet, this is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina. All right, good day tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Regina. Thank you, Lord. I see a very tender spot inside of you that's very tender, very, very, very sensitive, very tender, very connected to emotion. Sometimes, you know, the thing with the problem with that stuff, you know, is that when the emotions are painful, it's very painful. But when the emotions are amazing, it's amazing. You know, so when the spirit man is running the show in our life or in our country or whatever, the Holy Spirit and our spirit man, which if it's been born again, is truly creating image of God. Let me tell you what I saw, and then I'm trying to explain it to you. It's like I saw the inside of a, like, you know, a nut, or like a nut has a hard shell on the outside, tough, you know, strong, can't be penetrated. And yet on the inside, you know, when you break it open, there's a soft, tender, you know, like a walnut. It's tender and it's soft and it's, you know, and that's what I saw. I'm not really explaining it like I want to, but I saw like this container inside of you. This very tender mush stuff, like, was like very tender, very soft, very solid in a sense, but it was very soft. It's hard to explain what I saw, but I see that inside you, and I see God really using that to use you to feel people and to feel things and to feel God. Feel, because people say, oh, just do away with your feelings. You don't need any feelings. Are you kidding me? God gave us feelings. We do away with our feelings. No, what we do is we get our feelings connected with God. That's what we do. And when that feeler, when that very tender, mushy, beautiful, tender place inside of you gets connected to God, like it has, Regina, you know, it's used. God can use it. He's looking for that soft part of us that can just. Jesus had a very, 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 very soft spot. Oh my God, it was so powerful, so full of emotion for the Father. And when he'd be moved by compassion or anger or fear, like when he drove out the money changer, he was angry. He was very emotional. Oh, he was very tender to God. And when he got angry, he was very angry, you know, against evil. And so when he was full of compassion, he would get a little child put in his hand. He just felt love for that child. Why? Because that same mushy part of him that was very tender and soft was able to, you know, put a child in his lap and just enjoy the child, you know. And, you know, 5 minutes before that, he was running out, you know, money changers and turning over stuff. And people thought he'd lost his mind. Why? Because it's that very tender, beautiful part of him that could do and feel, not just do, but feel what the Father felt. And I think most of the time, Regina, honestly, I think God moved by feeling what he felt. He did what he said. I only do what I see the Father do, but what he saw. Sometimes what I see, it's got a feeling it. And that very soft part of me feels things. When you feel it, it comes with information. It comes with words. It comes with, oh, my God, they need love. They need compassion. They need it right now. He may give you their name. He may just say, you know, what's going on. Because it's sensitive and tender. And I thank you, Lord, for that part of her that is so beautiful to you, Jesus. I ask you to bless it, multiply it, increase it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That's my last call for hand up. We have other people sitting there. The switchboard, but don't have your hand up yet. So if you know, I don't call numbers without people having their hand up. Because you might just be listening to the show, and I don't want to interrupt that. So if you want to, if you'd like me to pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. Please get your hand up. All you got to do is go to your phone that you called in on, right, and go to the phone pad and go there and click on the keypad and click on 1 on your phone. And that way you can, it puts a little hand up. When you call the show, it says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. As soon as it does that, you click 1 on your phone pad, same phone pad you called in from. You click 1 on that, and then it puts a hand up. It says, a little white hand, literally, and it says, other people don't have that, so I don't call them, all right, because they don't have a hand up. All right, so if you don't know you don't have your hand up, there you go. Click 1 on your phone. All right, I'll be back in a minute.
All right, take your call here tonight. All right, 720-819, you want to talk to the phone, please? Oh, wait a minute, sorry. I didn't turn you on. All right, 720-819, who am I talking to, and where are you from?
Hi, Randy. This is Jeff and Yuki in Nevada.
Oh, Nevada. All right. Nevada. Gotcha. Got to Nevada. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nevada. Thank you, Jesus. There's some water in Nevada. I got to plug this thing back in. Here, just a second. All right. There's some water in the Nevada. Yeah, some things to drink. Like it could be wealth, it could be blessing, it could be, I don't know, there's some water in Nevada. And thank you, Lord, for opening up that realm of water, that resources. The resources, water represents resources, especially water being a basic resource that we have to have. We can do without food for 40 days, but we can't do without water for like 3, I think. I did that one time, 3 days, it was really rough. And so the resources, I thank you, Lord, for the resources in Nevada, God, that they tap into those resources, God, in Jesus' name. And so resources can be finances, it can be connections, it can be property, it can be anything, it can be, you know, whatever it is. It can be, so we thank you, Jesus, for the resources in Jesus' name that you bring her into, bring them into, in the name of the Lord, God, that they will not come short of the glory, because the glory of God is, meaning that we access everything that belongs to us in Christ, that's our inheritance, and come short of nothing. And so I think, Jesus, they will come short. They will not come short of the glory, 100-fold. The glory is the 100-fold. And thank you, Jesus, for that. What brings glory to God is accessing everything, not having one thing undone or untaken. Everything taken. David, when he went pursued the enemies that came and robbed his camp, he went and took what belonged to him and more. So I thank you, Lord, that you called them to do that very thing, as Jesus' name, to take the resources in Nevada that you have for them, in Jesus' name, and take all of it, not just some of it, but all of it in Jesus' name.
Give them the wisdom. Give them the ability to do it, Jesus, and give them the with the Holy Spirit to enact within them their faith and the hearing the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. No compromise. No, oh, we'll take half of it, three quarters of it. No, we want all of it. They're going for the whole thing. They're going for the juggler. Going to take the whole thing, the whole enchilada. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. Every ounce of it. All right. All right, 682-806. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Hi, Randy. This is Cynthia and Mike from Mississippi.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, Cynthia and Mike. Thank you, Jesus. Cynthia and Mike, thank you, Lord, for details. Thank you, Lord, for working out all the details, but never forget the love in the details, the everything about the details of things, and that the love in the details is not the devil's in the details, but it's the love in the details. Right? The devil tries to get in the details, but the Lord says, I'm going to put love in the details. So that they remember that, God, that all the details of things, the details of how to handle things, how to do things, how to not do things, the details of all that. So the more detailed we are, the more specific and detailed we are about our obedience and doing the things God's called us to do, the more the blessing comes. The more we don't, the more like a Jeff, you don't come short of the glory of God in that. You receive, you get everything. Because the details, when we miss it, like a contract, you miss the details of the contract, you sign a contract, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what's in it because you get a hold of the whole thing, then you could be signed up for something really weird. So the details are important. So either the devil's in the details or love's in the details. And I think Jesus said love, in their case, love is in the details. The details of how to take care of each other, how to love each other, how to be friends with each other, how to make sure that, you're first other than God. God is always first. But then in marriage, your marriage with each other is important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God first. And then God will do the work, in the details. So thank you, Lord, for all the details. In Jesus' name, spell it out, make it plain. Help them see it. Give them grace, God. Give them peace. In Jesus' name, let their love for each other and their love for God be, of course, their love for God be first. And when that's first, then all the other love just comes together. And all the other needs are met because God is helping y'all meet each other's needs and meet, the needs that you have. Hallelujah. All the pain, all the suffering, all the sorrow, all the mistakes of the past, all the things God did, they will leave those behind. And like Paul the Apostle said, that he just forgot the things that were behind him in the past and moved on. In Jesus' name. Sometimes we have to deal with them first before we can put them back. But, say, God, I'm help me deal with this so that I can put it behind me. And I thank you, Lord, that everything is put behind him in Jesus' name. They can move forward fresh and new in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Any more callers tonight? I'm going to give you a few minutes and then I'm going to, it's almost 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, nobody else can call in. So got a few more minutes here for people to call in. So welcome to PGN. And if you can get here before midnight, we'll take your call. All right. Love to pray for you. Bye. I'll be right here.